You know, we're turning to Romans chapter 8 this evening. Romans chapter 8. Not really going to preach from the chapter. Not going to, as it were, take a text and preach from it. But it will be referred to in the message this evening. Tonight it is a more topical gospel message. And the emphasis is always on the gospel in the house of God on the Sunday evening here. So we're reading from Romans chapter 8. We're going to commence reading at those great words we find in the verse 28 of the chapter. So Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say? We then say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We'll end our reading at the natural break, the end of the chapter here, the verse 39. With the word before us open, let's briefly just seek the Lord again in prayer. If you're a Christian, pray that the Lord's hand will be upon the preacher and that he will know the endowment and the power and the infilling of God the Holy Ghost, so that we might be an able minister of the New Testament. And so let's seek the Lord briefly in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we again approach Thy throne as we come to the verge of preaching Thy word. And Lord, we confess our great need of Thee, confessing the need of Thy Spirit. We recognize that it is His work and His office and His role to convince the sinner of sin, the need of righteousness, and that of coming judgment. We pray therefore for the sending off the great Comforter, the great Paraclete, that third person of the Holy Trinity, that He would in wondrous ways, yet in mysterious ways, Lord, work upon the soul, opening the heart and causing the sinner to gladly leave their sin once and for all and to embrace Jesus Christ as He is offered to them in the gospel. And therefore, I leave myself before Thee, and I pray that Thou wilt now come and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill this house with Thy glory. Fill it with a sense of the divine presence, I pray. And may God Himself get all the glory, as He has already, in Emmanuel's land. For we offer these our petitions in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I wonder, does the name Edward Jenner mean anything to you? Edward Jenner, a family doctor in Gloucestershire, observed that milkmaids working in the countryside around his hometown of Berkeley had remarkably clear complexions, and they were never afflicted by the scars of the feared disease smallpox. When he asked about this, he was told that they all had contracted cowpox in the course of their work, and thus it protected them from contracting smallpox. Jenner decided to try and do a little experiment. And so when Sarah Nems consulted him about blisters she had acquired after milking a cow named Blossom, the doctor acted quickly. Taking pus from her lesions, Jenner deliberately infected James Phelps, the 8-year-old son of his gardener, first with cowpox and then later with smallpox. To everyone's relief, James, that 8-year-old boy, did not contract smallpox. Jenner's theory had been vindicated and found to be correct, and thus modern vaccination was born. Since then, vaccinations have been produced to combat many diseases. Diseases like measles, mumps, rubella, tuberculosis, polio, and cholera, to name but a few. On the 9th of November 2020, news broke that a possible vaccine had been found to deal with COVID-19. Early data indicated that Pfizer's COVID-19 was up to 90% effective, even up to 95% effective. Since then, the Moderna vaccine, claiming to be 95% effective, and the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which claims to be between 62% and 90% effective, have now been produced. 2021 is going to be a year marked by vast vaccination across the world in an attempt to suppress the rise and repel the advancement of COVID-19. As I came to think about that and the matter of vaccinations, I started to compare it to another matter. A matter that is infinitely more important, yet a matter that is sadly overlooked by modern man, namely the matter of salvation. Many have placed their hopes in a vaccination program, trusting that it will be the means to return us to some kind of normality in the coming months, and we trust in the coming year. However, as important as the preservation of the physical body is, a matter that is addressed in the 6th commandment, which requireth all lawful endeavours to preserve our own life and the life of others, the spiritual preservation of the soul is much more important. And so tonight, in this gospel meeting, I want to compare and contrast COVID-19 vaccination with God's salvation in a message that I've entitled Vaccination versus Salvation. Vaccination versus Salvation. Now, as we compare and contrast vaccination with salvation, I want us to firstly give some consideration to their origin. Their origin. Now, because the spread of this strain of coronavirus has been worldwide and not confined to simply one particular country, finding a vaccine has become the number one global priority for governments and for scientists. By mid-December 2020, 57 vaccine candidates were in clinical research, including 40 in phase 1 and 2 trials, 17 in phase 2, phase 3 trials, and in phase 3 trials, several COVID vaccines have demonstrated efficacy up to 95% in preventing symptomatic COVID-19 infections. Thousands of man-made hours have been invested to get safe vaccines ready for distribution to the general public. And so when it comes to the origin of a COVID-19 or any kind of vaccine, we would have to say that they originate in the laboratories and in the science parks of this world. That is where they find their origin, in the laboratories and the science parks of the world. However, when we consider the origin of salvation, such comes from a much different place. Salvation from sin And salvation from eternal damnation comes from heaven. And more specifically, from the God of heaven. You see, salvation, the salvation that is presented in the gospel, the salvation that Peter spoke of when he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This salvation that we preach tonight finds its origin in the goodwill of the triune Godhead. It finds its origin in the goodwill of the triune Godhead. Jonah the prophet said, "Salvation is of the Lord." This is where it comes from. It comes down from God. It originates in God. It finds its source, its fountainhead, its basis in God and in God alone. The writer to the Hebrews would say that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We read what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8. And when writing to the Roman believers here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul attributes man's salvation from its commencement to its completion exclusively to God alone. Exclusively to God alone. Let me read the verses 29 and 30 and place the emphasis where I want to place the emphasis as I read the chapter. Paul writes here, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." We do not read any pronouns such as I, me, my, we, us, or they, but rather 8 times in these 2 verses, we read the personal pronoun he, speaking of God, whom God did foreknow, God did predestinate, verse 30, and whom God, moreover, whom God did predestinate, them God also called, and whom God called, them God also justified, and whom God justified, them he also glorified. And thus, when we look at salvation biblically, we must understand that salvation is initiated from within the Godhead, God who is rich in mercy, and thereby being rich in mercy is the one that bestows his mercy, and it is he who alone saves us by his grace. Now listen just to the Westminster Confession of Faith. It says there, "It pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and man, the prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of his church, the heir of all things, the judge of the world, unto whom he did from all eternity give a people to be his seed, and to be by him in time," speaking of the seed, "redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified." By him. By him the seed are redeemed, called, sanctified, and glorified. These men understood the teaching of Scripture. Salvation is not found within man, but rather it is found within the goodwill of God. God in his goodwill. In eternity past, before man ever failed, within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit devised a means and a scheme of salvation. It would involve the Son becoming a man and yet remaining God at all times and living among men and then going to the cross of Calvary and to suffer and to die and to bleed and to shed His blood as a ransom price for my sin and for the redemption of His people. And then send the Holy Spirit into the world to be the applier of that redemption through Jesus Christ to the soul of the sinner in time, in the generation in which they are born, and thereby bring many sons on to glory. And thus, whatever way you look at this salvation, this biblical salvation, you'll find that it's found in God and in God alone. Now, it is because salvation is sourced in God alone that then the sinner, they must abandon any thought or any suggestion from within themselves or from without themselves by those who do not preach this gospel but another gospel. They must cast aside and abandon any thought that salvation can be merited or accomplished by self-effort. Salvation, in its entirety, is of God who delighteth in mercy and in God who showeth mercy. The Bible is clear in this matter. God is the source of salvation. God is the foundation of salvation. God is the basis of salvation. God is the worker of salvation. God is the procurer of salvation. God is the preserver of salvation. God is the completer of salvation. And therefore, man is excluded entirely. What the sinner brings to the table, we could coin a phrase, what the sinner brings to the table to acquire salvation is always rejected by God. Always rejected by Him. You see, false religion will tell us that the source of man's salvation is within man. His good works, his morality, his church going, his paying into the church, his pilgrimage, his penance, his charitable deeds, his morality. And false religion, they place the emphasis upon man. Man is the source of salvation. God will see some good in you, and thereby you'll eventually get to heaven. You may have to pass through purgatory, but you'll eventually get to heaven and to glory. But the Bible teaches something different. No, the Bible teaches that God alone is the source. He is the source and the origin of salvation. I like what William Temple had to say. William Temple, he said, the only thing of our very own which we contribute to our salvation is the sin which makes it necessary. That's what we contribute. We contribute the sin that makes salvation necessary. And therefore, if God is the origin of salvation, sinner, it is to God you must go to tonight. It is to Him. It is to Him you must flee to. It is to Him you must approach. If it is to become this salvation, if it is of God, if it is from God, if it is bestowed by God, then you must go to Him. You must seek Him for this salvation if it has become your personal salvation. And that is exactly what the sinner is encouraged to do in Scripture. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is not of yourself. Nothing of salvation is of man. Nothing of it has its origin in man. Nothing of it depends on man. Nothing of it can be accomplished by man. Nothing of it can be earned by man. Salvation is sourced in God and in God alone. How different that is from Earth's vaccines. You need to get this truth settled in your mind, sinner, this evening. You need to remember what the Scripture saith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not off yourself and yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast their origin. I want you to see in the second place, as we compare and contrast vaccination with salvation, I want you to think about their cost. Their cost. As I did a little bit of research for this message, I find that all vaccines have a price attached to them. I find that the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine costs £15 per dose. The Moderna vaccine costs £25 per dose. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine costs only £3 per dose. And the Russian vaccine Sputnik V costs £7.50 per dose. But whatever, and whichever vaccine you look at, there is a cost in the manufacturing, the purchasing, and then the administration of it. I am told that the NHS, that they are willing to pay general practitioners, GPs, £10 for every care home resident that is vaccinated as part of an accelerated drive to protect the most vulnerable. The Evening Standard newspaper on the 16th of December last year, 2020, reported that the National Audit Office has said that the government is going to spend, listen to this, £11.7 billion on the manufacturing, the purchasing, and the administration of COVID-19 jabs for the United Kingdom. And so we can see from that the tremendous cost attached to the manufacturing, the purchasing, and the administering of the vaccine over the next year. We as taxpayers are going to be paying for this for years to come. Tremendous cost involved. And yet when it comes to God's salvation, although it cost the Son of God his life, when he offered up himself to God as a sacrifice for sin upon the cross, though it cost him all, yet we who benefit from what he did, salvation comes to us. Freely. The free nature of salvation can be clearly seen in God's word in the fact that it is referred to as a what? A gift. A gift. We read one such text in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing is freer than the gift of God's salvation. Did you know that everything about salvation is free? Salvation is free in every sense. It was freely planned by the Father. It was freely purchased and accomplished by the Son. And it is freely applied to the sinner by the Holy Ghost. It was freely promised. It was freely provided. It was freely given. James Smith said, salvation is a free gift. Nothing can be freer. The fountain that cleanses is open and free. The righteousness that justifies us is freely bestowed. The Spirit who sanctifies us is freely given to everyone that asks. Tonight, the gospel presents to you the gift of salvation. Freely offers to you the opportunity to forsake sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and to know peace with God and to know the peace of God. No money is required to exchange hands. None whatsoever. No works are necessary for salvation's bestowment. All that you need to do is repent of your sin and receive the gift by faith from God. Now, will you do that? Will you do that? Have you done that? Now, whenever we receive gifts, and we have received, I'm sure, some in recent days, we had plenty of gifts to open in our home. There were so many people so generous towards us. Whenever our little girl came to open her presents, she had to, having opened one present, she had to empty her hand off that present in order to receive another. She could not receive another gift until her hand and her hands were empty. And so in the gospel, you'll never receive the gift of salvation if you come with full hands. Lord, this is what I offer you. This is what I bring to you. Was it not Augustus Toplady who penned the words, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling"? You'll have to come empty-handed. Empty-handed. Tonight, He would save you. He would redeem you. He would adopt you. He would reconcile you to God. But you must come empty-handed. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot work for salvation. We cannot merit salvation, but we can do this. We can receive it. We can do that. We can receive it. Oh, that tonight you would receive the free gift of salvation. D.L. Moody, the noted American evangelist, was in California. He was the guest of a man who had a large vineyard and a large orchard on his premises. And one day the host said to Moody, "Mr. Moody, whilst you're my guest, I want you to make yourself perfectly happy here. And if there's anything in that orchard or anything in that vineyard that you would like, just help yourself. It's all free. Just help yourself, Mr. Moody." Mr. Moody said, "When I wanted an orange, I didn't go to the orange tree and pray that the oranges would fall into my pocket. But rather, I walked up to the tree, I reached out my hand, and I took the oranges. The host said, 'Take,' and I took." And then Moody made the application. God says, "Take," and you do it. God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Who will take it? Who will take it? There must be the act of faith, the receiving of Christ personally, individually, not your mother's faith, not your father's salvation, your own personal encounter with the living God. And He offers it to you. Will you take it? Will you take it? There's a third matter to consider as we compare and contrast vaccination with salvation, and that is their administration. Their administration. And I'm sure you're aware that each vaccine approved by the Medicines and Health Products Regulatory Agency, that's a tongue twister, it all requires two vaccines, two doses. For the vaccine to reach its full potential, if the individual is to be protected to the greatest and to the fullest. Now, as initially the second vaccine dose was to be administered just 3 weeks apart, it now has been moved to, I think it's now 12 weeks, possibly after now the first jab. But regardless of the time period, two doses, think of it, two doses are required, are necessary to be administered to the patient. Two doses. And yet how different it is when it comes to God's salvation. Praise God. The sinner needs only one dose of God's salvation to deliver them from the penalty of sin. When God saves a sinner, He does so in a moment of time. When they call, He saves. No backup shots required. No second prescribed dosage needs to be administered. When the sinner is saved by God, that moment they pass from death to life, from the power of darkness onto the kingdom of God's own dear Son. Thank God, when God saved me, I only needed one dose. I just needed one dose to save my soul. And sinner, you'll only need one dose as well. A single dose. You'll not need to go back to God for some kind of booster jab if you get the genuine thing. But glory to God, one meeting with God will be sufficient to change you into a new creature and set you on your way to heaven and towards home. You'll just need one encounter with God. Regard to salvation. There's a second contrast to be made when we think of the administration of the vaccine program and then the administration of God's salvation. The vaccine program is going to be administered by men and women, doctors, nurses, medical staff. I believe even dentists will be able to prescribe or give this vaccine. However, when it comes to God's salvation, God administers it. He administers it. I don't hand out salvation. I don't, as it were, put it into your pocket on your way out of the building or hand it down to you as you sit in the pew. I don't administer salvation. I can save no man. I can save no woman from their sin. No, God must work. God must work in the soul. God must regenerate the heart. God must bring new life. Give the principle of new life within. He must gift the sinner with faith and repentance. Those twin graces that are required for the sinner to leave their sin and to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It is a divinely administered salvation. God saves the sinner, and God alone. So don't be looking to me to save your soul tonight. Don't be thinking, if I go into an inquiry room tonight, he's going to say some kind of magic words over the top of my head, and hey presto, I've been converted, I have been saved. No, God will save you now, if you lift your heart now in prayer to God, silently. If you cry to him for mercy, he will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. The preacher can help, but the preacher only points you to the Savior, the one who does the saving. And so petition him. Call upon him that he might blot out your iniquities. And then he would give you his righteousness. I want you to think with me about a fourth thing, contrast between vaccination and salvation. Namely, I want you to think about their rollout. As of the 1st of January, 1 million people in the United Kingdom have already been given the COVID vaccine jab. Now, the rollout of the vaccine is guided by certain groupings that the Joint Committee of Vaccination and Immunization have identified. This committee has drawn up a priority list for those that are to be involved in the first phase of the vaccination program. First, residents in their care homes and their carers are to be vaccinated. That is to be followed by those who are over 80, as well as frontline health and social care workers. Then we have the 75s and over, followed by the 70s and over, as well as those who are clinically extremely vulnerable individuals. That will be followed then by those who are 65 and over, followed by individuals aged 16 to 64 that have underlying health conditions. Then we have those who are 60 and over, followed by 55 and over, followed by those who are aged 50 and over. This is how it's supposedly going to be administered. And so you can see that priority is being given to certain people within our society, to not the neglect of others, but I suppose just because they are more vulnerable. But there are certain sections of society that are being given priority over the rest of society. And so as we look at it this evening, with regard to the vaccine at present, it's not available to everybody. Not available to everyone. Only those in the aforementioned categories will be given the vaccine initially. Not all can receive this vaccine at present. And yet when you compare that to God's salvation, how different it is. Age or vulnerability does not determine if a person can avail themselves of the remedy for sin. No, that remedy is open for all. All who will admit their need of salvation, and all who will come on to God by Jesus Christ, regardless of a person's age, regardless of how many a sins an individual has committed, regardless of how great their sins have been, regardless of where they live, regardless of their social status, it matters not. Regardless of how much they know of the Bible, how little they know of the Bible, salvation from sin is rolled out to the whosoever will. That's who it's rolled out to. The whosoever will. There's no part of society. There is no class of society that is excluded from this whosoever. Whosoever will. And so to all the boys and girls listening, watching, will you avail yourself of the remedy for sin? Will you be saved? Teenagers and young adults, here tonight, those who are watching in, what about God's salvation? What about God's salvation to start you off on the right footing for 2021? What about getting saved tonight? What about seeing that mother's prayers answered for you? What about seeing that father's petitions and supplications answered for you tonight? Why not start out 2021 being reconciled to God and being a child of God? And what about you older adults? You older adults who have lingered on in your sin for decades. What about God's salvation offered to you in the gospel? Will you avail yourself of it just now? None will be turned away. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you went up to where vaccinations are taking place and you were a healthy 20-year-old and saying, "I want a vaccine now," you know what they'll tell you? They'll say, "Not your turn. This isn't available for you." Ah, but if you're a 20-year-old tonight and you come to Jesus Christ and you say, "I want to be saved," he'll take you in. He'll save you. He'll redeem you. He'll reconcile you to God. He'll make you a child of God. This moment, he will save your soul. Quickly, two other points and then we're finished. I want you to think about between this thought, this contrast between vaccination and salvation. I want you to think about their effectiveness. Now, according to the trial data that was presented by the pharmaceutical companies, the effectiveness of the vaccines now approved to be used range from between 62% and 95%, depending on what vaccine is being used. Why such a range? Well, I'm told that there are various characteristics or various contributing factors that really deal with a vaccine's effectiveness. It'll vary based on a person's age, their physical size, their immune system, and other contributing factors. But what I want you to note, and I want you to note it very carefully, that not one of the vaccines claim to be 100% effective. Not one. They reach up to 95 in some cases, but not one ever claims to be 100% effective. However, when it comes to God's salvation, the sinner doesn't need to fret, and the sinner doesn't need to worry about the effectiveness of God's salvation. Because whenever any sinner repents of their sin and trusts in Christ for salvation, they find out that God is well able to save the soul. He's well able. Well able. Listen to these words from the chief of sinners, Paul. Written in Romans 1 verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ is effective to save who? Everyone that believeth. That believeth. And I say to you, if you're not a Christian here tonight or listening in, the gospel has enough power to awaken you out of the deadness of your sin. The gospel has enough power to convert you. The gospel has enough power to pardon you. The gospel has enough power to justify you. The gospel has enough power to renew your soul. The gospel has enough power to regenerate your heart. The gospel has enough power to make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. The gospel has enough power to adopt you into the family of God. The gospel has enough power to make you a conqueror over death. The gospel has enough power to raise your body from the grave. And the gospel has enough power to exalt your body and soul in the glories of heaven. The gospel has enough power. It's 100% effective. 100%. All that come are saved. All that believe are saved. All that repent are saved. Ask any genuine Christian about the effectiveness of salvation, and they will tell you how God's salvation made them a new creature overnight. Took their filthy tongue and filled it with God's praise. Took their addictions and their drug taking and their drinking and immorality and cleaned up their life and made them a saint of God. For it's effective on the testimony of Scripture and on the testimony of the saints. Sinner, doubt not the efficacy of God's salvation. It works. It works. I am living testimony of it. Are you? The sixth and final contrast to draw between vaccination and salvation is their durability. Their durability. Now, you'll be aware that people have to be vaccinated every year against the flu. The flu vaccination. They set up their clinics, the doctors. They inject their patients because they need to be annually vaccinated against the flu. And the reason why is that the immunity provided by the flu jab only lasts for six months. Now, although the present COVID vaccines may eventually offer longer protection than just a few months, the trials that have taken place have not been long enough to determine whether those vaccines will offer an enduring protection. And so there is talk that the vaccine is going to have to be administered every year like the flu vaccine. But don't take my word for it. I'm only saying what I have read with regard to it. I may be proved wrong, but I want you to notice that the duration of protection provided by any of the vaccines is limited and is short. Limited and short. And yet, when you think of God's salvation's durability, and you think about the protection that God's salvation provides and offers, I tell you, it gladdens my soul to not only know that I am shielded for time, but I'm shielded for eternity. I'm protected. I'm protected in time, and I'm protected in eternity. I am eternally secure. Death, the judgment, hell has no power over me. The Son of God has died in my place. He has paid the sin debt to the full. And he has claimed me and made me one of his own. Sinner, you have no such protection, have you? Defenseless, exposed, vulnerable. That's your spiritual state this evening. But the Christian who has come to hide themselves under God's wings, can never suffer harm there. And so, sinner, run under his wing. Hide yourself from the calamity that is sure to come upon those who know not God and who have obeyed not his gospel. Seek refuge in the wounds of Calvary without a moment's delay. And thank God if you do, you'll know the protection and shielding of God, a perpetual and enduring protection. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." It is an enduring protection to be saved. And so on my reading of things, salvation is infinitely superior to vaccination. Why do I say that? I say that because while vaccination from COVID-19 or any other disease may save the body, and that for but a few more years, it is only salvation that is able to save the soul. And what is more important than the soul? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I trust, sinner, that you have come to the same conclusion that I have come to. And if you're not saved, that just now you'll turn to God for salvation. May God bring you to himself. And may tonight find you at the cross, where the burden of sin is lifted and salvation enters in. May God be pleased to bless the word to our hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's just spend a little time in prayer. Maybe you're not a Christian. Tonight you would say, "Preacher, I need salvation." Well, I'll be here to help as best I can. You remain. We'd be glad to speak to you about this matter. Trust that we spoke plainly, simply tonight. You desire spiritual help, then feel free to contact us. If you're watching in via the means whereby you're enabled to do that, we'd be glad to speak to you about God's salvation. Our loving Father, in our Savior's precious name, we rejoice tonight in the salvation that has been secured by our Savior and is offered to the sinner in the gospel. We pray that tonight that there may be an embracing of Christ, who alone saves. We thank thee that he saves us from sin. His very name presents to us that great truth. Oh, that salvation will enter in. And tonight, Lord, will be the night of some individuals, their new birth. And may they start out this year right with God. Having known peace with God, may the peace of God then rule in their souls. May they come to the place where peace was secured. May they come to the place called Calvary, where the sin burden is lifted. Answer prayer and take thy word and apply it with power. And may we see the effectiveness of this salvation in the hearts and souls and lives of individuals. For we offer these our prayers and petitions in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you as you make your way home. Thank you. Mm-hmm.